Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
So, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio, everybody. For those of you keeping score, that is actually Karen Frazier and Rick Hale, not Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
I'm sorry. That music we were playing right before kind of put me to sleep there.
Oh, did you wake up? Did you drool on yourself?
Yeah, actually, I did. I got it like running all through my beard. So,
good times. Well, there's a visual. Let's put you up on the Skype cam so I can see.
Somebody in the chat room said it sounded like music from The Lord of the Rings.
It's music from the documentary that never was, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
It is. Yes. Yeah. And apparently someone that we know was also browsing porn one night and saw it on a porn video as well. That's what happens when you use Creative Commons music.
Nice.
You never actually know what the application might be.
Yeah, but isn't that music like usually... you know, nothing that sounds like that. That's weird, man.
Well, I'm just telling you that somebody was using that as porn. It was probably like Hobbit porn. you know, whatever that may be.
Middle Earth marital aids. Nice.
Yeah, right. So, Rick, did you have a good week?
I did, actually. You know, I mean, I was just telling you guys before that I worked up some pretty good karma, you know, helping a spirit move on at an investigation this last Saturday. So, I'm actually found out that I'm not going to get fired and actually get the money that I have coming to me. So,
oh, thank God. And your karma did not run over your dogma. So there you go.
Exactly. So I'm good to go.
Yeah. So Tanner's on spring break this week, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. He's been away for a couple of days.
Okay. And, what is he like? Going wild or something?
Yeah. Tanner going wild. He's filming with Snoop Dogg as we speak. So he's been down in Portland with some friends of the family, and he's coming back at some point tonight. Sounds like kind of late, so whatever. Okay. Anyway, so I've had a little time on my hands because Tanner's been gone. And I got to tell you, Rick, I find you an inspiration, and I actually really mean that, okay?
You know what? Everybody tells me that I'm inspirational.
I know, but what's going to come next is going to kind of make it seem like I don't really find you an inspiration, and I'm just being a sarcastic...
Okay.
But I do. I find you an inspiration. And so this week, I was inspired by something that you shared about your history about consuming your twin in the womb. And I also decided that I was going to try out for American Idol. And the two kind of meshed together. So would you like to hear how it went?
Okay, that's fine.
My Inspired by Rick American Idol audition. I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes a little something like this. Oh Lord, give me hot sauce to help wash my twin down. Things will be better, Lord, when he's not around. In the womb, I will eat him. Now, Lord, don't you frown. 'Cause then Mom can buy me that birthday clown. Oh, Lord, make him tasty like chicken or fish. Being an only child is my fondest wish. So please, won't you bring me some rice on a dish? So I can eat him 'cause he looks delish. Oh, Lord. Please keep my dead twin away from me. I think I can feel him when I take a pee. Or he could be in my left nut, but it's really hard to see. All I know is I ate him, and now he haunts me. Everybody, oh Lord, give me hot sauce to help wash my twin down. Things will be better, Lord, when he's not around. In the womb, I will eat him now. Lord, don't you frown. 'Cause then Mom can buy me that birthday clown. I thought that was pretty good.
I think you just killed my favorite song of all time.
Killed in a good way or a bad way?
Right, well, listen, killing is never good.
Killing is never good.
There's never a happy killing. No, I mean, that was first degree on that one.
I can do it again if you just give me another chance.
It was dreadful. No, no, really dreadful. And I'm saying that to be kind, because you will never, ever, ever have a career in singing.
I don't believe you.
I'm telling you.
I don't believe you.
I'm telling you.
Well, you can tell me all you want, but I won't believe you.
Remember these words, you're not a singer.
You just don't know good singing when you hear it.
Not in a billion years. There are only so many words I can drag out of my vocabulary to say how awful that was.
You tell me I can't sing, judges. I can sing just fine, you f***ing piece of sh**. Oh, judges, I'm a good singer. I show you I'm going to f***ing be famous someday, and you're going to just f***ing eat your f***ing words. F*** you.
And so my spirit was crushed by the judges at American Idol, but it was inspired because you ate your twin in the womb.
God, that was probably one of the most hysterical yet horrific things I've ever heard in my life.
I gotta tell you, you didn't hear the one that Jim and I rejected.
Oh, really?
Oh.
See, yeah. Unfortunately, though, I'm not a single, I'm not an only child. I have a pain in the ass younger sister.
I know, but I took some artistic license with your life. I hope you don't mind.
No, it's quite all right. That was pretty brilliant.
I will privately email you the one I rejected, but okay. Cheryl listened to the other one and I'm sure was just terribly horrified by it, but because it was really bad. Jim said it was evil, but I sang it like Cookie Monster. Let's just go with that.
We'll go with that.
So anyway,
you know what? You know what, Frasier? You're lucky. I have a sense that I don't take myself very seriously.
Yes, I understand, but do you see? I made as much fun of myself in that as I did of you.
Yes, you did. Yes,
I did, because I am a terrible, terrible singer.
Well, I'm sure Janis Joplin wouldn't be too happy about that.
Yeah, Jim says, well, but Janis Joplin was a terrible singer too, but no, I am a terrible, terrible singer.
Janis Joplin was not a terrible singer.
No, I think she was a good singer. I love that, me and Bobby McGee. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, should I apologize to everyone who had to go through that? I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I'd like to apologize. I won't let it happen again.
No, it was great. It was hilarious.
And at least you didn't have to listen to the Cookie Monster version.
I would have loved to have heard that one. Yeah, oops, send it to
Cheryl,
me when you get
it. Cheryl, actually, if Cheryl can answer me in Skype if she wants. Cheryl actually has the Cookie Monster version that she can queue up if she want, I think. Cheryl, answer me in Skype. Do you have the Cookie Monster version? Well, so she's going to look and see if we have it, because it's horrible. It's horrible. It's also along the same theme about eating a twin.
Eating a twin. Okay. Well, it's like I said last week or the week before, he was delicious.
Well, you know, here's what my husband has discovered about me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I'm not good at letting things go. Have you learned that about me as well?
Yeah, actually, I have. You're still making fun of me about my ill-conceived Twilight things that I used to say about Twilight.
I have not actually made fun of you about Twilight in quite some time.
Okay. Well.
Yes.
But you still remember, like when you sent my kid that care package, and you sent it with the forks thing.
That's because I promised it wasn't forks. It was St. Helens, Oregon. And that is like their big tourist draw, is that part of Twilight was filmed there. So if you want, you can walk down to the end of the cul-de-sac and stare at Bella's house.
Oh, I don't really want to do that, but okay.
But so I had told you that when I went there to do the Klondike, which, of course, the very awesome investigators from the guy that can't stop looking at himself in the mirror, Paranormal State.
Yeah, that kid. Yep.
Yeah, and so I told you when I went down to do that and stayed in the hotel that, mm-hmm. So we have a good guest coming up, and I'm really excited about the show.
I'm actually quite excited about this one as well.
She's in the chat room, and I'm really hoping that she's willing to come on after that, and especially if I go while we're on break and get the Cookie Monster thing to share for Cheryl to play us back from break. But we're going to be talking to Robin Marie, and she's a spiritual medium. And
before any of the science type people go running out of here, yes, people, there are people who can speak to spirits. Okay, Please proceed.
She did a documentary, and I'm really excited because I can only imagine. I'd like to see the documentary because I'm pretty sure that people run on the beach in slow motion and Vangelis plays in the background because it is called Ghosts of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so we will be talking to Robin. So here's what we'll do. How about if we go to break? While Cheryl plays the ads, I'll go see if I can find the Cookie Monster thing to send to her against my better judgment, and then she can use it to play us back from break while we contact Robin.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right. We will be back in just a minute. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Stick around. It's going to be a fun show.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Nation Identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio. This is your favorite host, Rick Hale, and I am, of course, here with Karen Frazier.
Sorry, I've got a little something caught in my throat.
Now, apparently, Karen is going to share with us another song, which is slamming me. So before we get to our guest, Robin Marie, spiritual medium, we're going to play something else. Now, according to her husband, Jim, there is no apologizing. And according to Karen, there is absolutely no apologizing for this. So, you know, sit back.
So we'd like to indemnify everyone at Z-Talk Radio and their affiliates and sponsors. They had nothing to do with this. Cheryl had nothing to do with this. So, and all I can say is that I was trying to sing like Cookie Monster. I was using a karaoke backing, and I could not talk for hours after that. And I think that this really needs no further introduction. So, maestro on the board. So,
play that funky music, white girl.
Play that funky music. I'm sorry. Again, I'm sorry.
My twin with some cheese.
I don't do a good Cookie Monster.
I needed some room to stretch my knees. He took up the room space and kept sticking his toes in my buns. I've eaten his heart, but I wish he came on a bun. I feel him kicking my leg. He thinks he's number one. I bet it really tastes good on a sesame seed bun. None of the fools you can see anyone would be. I hate my twin.
Again, I apologize.
In the mirror.
Oh my god, there
you are. All I see.
It's the whole song, dude.
Oh no.
Is my twin covered in hot sauce? I'm barely recording my teeth. Am I just fooling myself? Then he's really gone. Or will he be reborn when I go to the jar? I feel him kicking my leg. He thinks he's number one. I bet he really gets good on a sesame seed bun. Mama can do what she can see anyone with me. I hate my food.
Man, are you sure this is Cookie Monster and not that singer from the 60s who moves around spasmodically?
No problem.
Yeah, that's it.
On a sesame seed bun. I'm a fool to confuse anyone with me. Just a fool to confuse.
I could
not talk for hours after that.
Okay, Karen, you need to get yourself a real job because you have way too much time on your hands.
That actually didn't take me that long to do, sadly.
You know, like I said, I don't know if you sound more like Cookie Monster or Joe Cocker.
Oh, well, you know, that's I should have danced spasmodically while I did it. I can't believe that we just played that for people to hear, and that, more importantly, that there are still people in the chat room. What the hell is wrong with them?
You know what? Actually, we're still like within the top 10 of iTunes for paranormal podcasts, so hopefully that's going to shoot us up to number one.
Or the other way.
Yeah. Yay for mediocrity.
Yay! Okay, so our guest has been sitting here with her ears plugged, hopefully. But now let's bring her on. She is a psychic medium. We found out before the show she's worked with the police and done a few documentaries, and she's got some interesting stuff to tell us. So welcome, Robin.
Hey, Robin.
Hello, everybody.
Again, I'm sorry.
What, are you apologizing for just being Karen?
I just have to say, I'm a spiritual medium. I am not an exorcist, and I think that song might have needed one.
I think Karen needs an exorcism.
I never said I was a singer. Or are you talking about the lyrics? Because I think the lyrics, frankly, were freaking awesome.
Yeah. It's definitely the singing thing. You're definitely not a singer.
Mm-mm. Oh, no. So, Robin.
Yes.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to our crazy little part of the internet.
Yeah, I hope you didn't get hit. You know, I hope you didn't get bumped up during the turbulence, but you've landed now and here you are.
You know, I had four solid nights of karaoke down at Phenomenology, but this topped it all.
I bet that there was not a single person in Phenomenology who was nearly as bad as I am.
Now, was the guys from Alpha Ghost Team, apparently they're the greatest paranormal team of all time, were they there? Because they do their little karaoke thing.
Oh, they do. I don't know who they are.
So, Rick, who's worse, Alpha Ghost Team or me?
Karen, you.
I've got the big one, number one phone finger on right now. I'm number one.
number one.
I've wanted to win at something all my life, and by golly, I'll take it.
Well, this is it.
So the other thing, Robin, is that you are going to, you're of course here to talk about the Ghosts of Fire and the work that you do, but you also have had some of our members sending you photographs, including moi, and I don't know now if you're afraid to read me because you might have something happen to you from the demon.
No, but I'm glad that you did this afterwards because I don't like anything to influence my readings.
Okay. Mm.
So,
would that influence
Cookie Monster in them?
Karen is a complete tool. Put that.
It's probably already in her reading, let's be honest.
Oh my goodness.
So, tell me a little bit about Ghosts of Fire.
Well, Ghosts of Fire, I released October 1st, and it's actually out on DVD. It played in cinemas all across the globe, actually. Over 70 countries were playing it, so it's rather exciting. It was based on Centralia, which is a perpetually burning ghost town that's down in Pennsylvania.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us why Centralia is perpetually burning, because I think that this is fascinating.
Well, what's very interesting within the movie, I like to put in the element of history so you learn from it as well as it being entertaining.
Right.
When I was down there, and we did 2 years of research, and it was released to me after I did all of my channeling down there, we found that there was actually a curse put on the town, and this was by one of the priests, a very prominent priest that you know, the congregations knew in the area, and he had cursed all of the Molly Maguires and everybody who followed them, and he said, "May you burn in hell for all eternity." And five times after he said that, the town burned to the ground.
It burned to the ground 5 times after he said
five times. Counting the coal mine fire, which is underground, and the whole town had to be evacuated.
Wow. But isn't there something burning still underground there?
Oh, yes. The coal is going to burn for at least 1,000 years from what scientists are able to determine.
Now, how is that possible with it being underground? Doesn't there need to be oxygen or is, you know, oxygen?
Oh, it gets in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's cracks in the ground, and now it's actually caused eruptions.
Wow.
In numerous places, as many spots that you cannot walk, and you see the ambers blowing up out of the ground.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Now, does anybody even live there still, or?
No, actually, as of January a year ago, everyone had to be out. Now, over the 2 years, it was a whole year that we were actually filming. We went down 5 different times, and it started with about 11 houses. The next time we went, there were 9. The next time we went down to 4, and there were 2 left last January, and they had bulldozers actually going to knock them down, whether the people were gone or not.
No.
Mm.
These were beautiful homes, too.
Right.
So environmentally, I can't imagine that coal that's going to burn for 1,000 years is really good for the air quality in the town either.
Actually, it's not that bad.
Really?
There is a lot of it being based on a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Anthracite coal, I see in your chat room that somebody is actually familiar with this.
That would be my husband, Tacky McScience Geek, yes.
I had to learn everything about coal. Anthracite coal is the most valuable. It's precious. I would wear it for jewelry. It's that beautiful.
Wow.
Okay. It looks like hematite. Very
ooh,
shiny.
Like, yeah.
With this, it's very, very lucrative to anybody that has this. And, of course, it was under everybody's home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the city was able to take it over, then it becomes their possession, and they're able to sell it off through pieces of, you know, to Bethlehem Steel, Pittsburgh, of course, you know, is the capital of the coal mining and steel industry, you know, melting everything down and putting it into structures. And this is what Pennsylvania is known for, of course, if you're from out that way. So this would be worth a great deal of money.
Hmm.
Okay.
So, you know, they certainly had motivation to take this from the people.
Oh, so it wasn't because it's dangerous because of the fires burning. You think it was a financially inspired move?
Kind of.
There's a lot of people protesting it.
Kind of like an eminent domain sort of thing?
It is. And as of January, it became full eminent domain to the city.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Wow,
there's nothing left out there. There's only 4 cemeteries and 1 church, and the church still has mass every Sunday.
Really?
Hmm. It's very haunting, very, very unusual place to go to.
Yeah. So, you know, lay a little bit of the history on. I mean, most Irish Americans would say, oh, yeah, we're familiar with the Molly Maguires, who you already mentioned. But, you know, for our listeners, could you tell us who the Molly Maguires are and what the significance to Centralia was?
Basically, and I'm just going by, you know, socially what we say, this is basically the Irish Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were deemed as being criminals. These were people that came in and murdered people and stole and robbed and everything else. The truth of the matter is, this was the actual basis for what turned into the Union.
Mm, right.
They took things, they took matters into their own hands. These were men that were whipped like slaves. Their paychecks were taken back from their owners, from their bosses, and they had to buy from what's known as the company store. So just think, you work all week, and then you have to go to your company's store and spend all of your paycheck to buy food, clothing, and everything else for your family. They own your house, so you have to pay them rent.
Right, we had that here in in Chicago too. It was Pullman neighborhood was just like that.
The railroad was like that.
Yeah, they've done it to a lot of people, and so this formed the Union. The Molly Maguires were radicals that said, "We've had enough. We're not going to take it anymore." And people were just totally disregarded. People were killed. Accidents happened. There was no workers' comp. There was nothing like that we know of the modern day.
Right.
And they just literally ran over people and left bodies there. These people counted for nothing. So all of these spirits that I channeled, and you'll see if you watch the movie, I contacted the living relatives.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to verify who these people were, and I put value to their name because they were long forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I actually worked for the Pinkerton Detective Agency for about 2 months as a security guard. So the Pinkertons, they were pretty much the bad guys throughout that whole situation, weren't they?
Who was this?
Pinkerton. Pinkerton men?
Yes, Pinkerton went into security companies, and still nowadays they have Pinkerton Security.
Yeah, I worked for them for about 2 months.
He was the one that went in and infiltrated, you know, finding the Molly Maguires. He befriended them and then turned them in, and, you know, it was just horrific what everybody went through, and there was a lot of people rich in within that history, and I tried to bring that out, as well as the hauntings and all of that that I was trying to capture in the film.
Yeah, let's you know, talk about the hauntings a little bit. You know, what exactly, what did you experience while making Ghost of Fire?
Well, first off, nobody wanted me down there. Mm-hmm. The historians won't talk to you. Nobody will release any information. They've taken away the zip code. They've taken away many maps don't even have this on it. They are literally hiding all of this.
Okay.
So that was very challenging to me. When I went down there, as far as the hauntings went, I had a layer of history. I had the Native Americans came out, which mm-hmm. I didn't even expect. We had to look for 2 solid years to find out who the tribes were mm-hmm. because they're almost extinct. And this is the Lenea tribe that started that area.
Right.
So then I went into 1700s and 1800s, and I got some of the people like Pinkerton came through. You know, certainly a lot of the Molly Maguires told us stories. One of the girlfriends of the Molly Maguires came through, and this was like trans-channeling in the movie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of disturbing to me because my eye color changes and the cadence of my speech changes. And, mm-hmm. you know,
wait,
to
your
see
eye
me
color?
Take on a different... Yes, I took on a whole different formation. It's kind of disturbing to me.
Yeah. Now, It's very unpopular within the paranormal community right now to use psychic mediums, or, you know, I don't understand why, but
certain people.
Just certain people, yeah. I hate asking this because I do believe in, you know, in psychic ability. I think it, you know, maintains the balance in the supernatural. But I mean, do you have, like, you know, hardcore evidence to back up what you experienced in Centralia?
I'll tell you something. I actually teach about mediumship.
Okay.
What my classes teach is bringing peace between working with a medium and scientific background. Mm-hmm. Putting the blend together. I tell all of the investigators, you have to have a medium or someone that's sensitive. Otherwise, what are you out there looking for?
Exactly. That,
whether you're trying to prove it or disprove it, you cannot dismiss the fact that it's something spiritual that you're looking for.
Right.
True. Yeah.
I think that sometimes, you know, in the whole race to prove to the world that, you know, that this stuff exists, I think what happened is that, you know, modern paranormal investigators, or, you know, ghost hunters, as I like to call them, they've taken the psychic out of psychical research. And there really is nothing more metaphysical or more beautiful than the human soul. And if that's what a ghost or spirit is.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I want to know as a medium, because I have had these gifts since I was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I use all of my senses, all of them. A lot of mediums maybe have one, maybe a couple of more. I use all of them.
So you're mm-hmm. clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and
yes,
all of those.
Clairsmelliant. Clairelliant. Yes, clairsmelliant. Exactly.
Could
that's
you kind
a
of,
very big thing for me.
Is to be clairsmelliant.
Yeah, Robin, if you wouldn't mind, could you just, like, give us a brief rundown of what each one of those abilities is, just in case somebody doesn't really know what, you know, clairsentient is?
Yes, this is for knowing and sensing that the spirits are there. Clairsentience is very common among all of us, and I think people need to tune into that, even the scientifically based researchers. And I'm a researcher as well, parapsychologist. So I do like to take the scientific and logical look at all of this. I rule out probably 90% of everything that I have sent me that people claim is spiritual. So just know that I do come with a scientific approach, even though I love the metaphysical side of it as well. With these senses, clairsentience, you are feeling like somebody's standing behind you. You get the feeling like eyes are on you or someone's watching you. So that's something almost everybody I know has a story like that.
Now, let me ask you a quick question. I've kind of always believed that those kind of abilities are kind of a throwback to when mankind was hunting Mastodon. It was like, holy crap, there's...
Yes, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Thank you for bringing that up. These are very natural senses. And over the years, we've talked ourselves out of it. We start as children. Oh, no, you didn't see something. Or no, you didn't hear something. Yes, we did. Animals have this. If you're familiar, many people use animals around investigations because the cats and dogs pick up things very easily.
Right.
They sit and look at spirits that are in your house. They follow things. A lot of families tell me this.
Well, cats, in ancient Egypt were the guardians of the afterlife. And, you know, in a lot of Europe, dogs were, they're pretty much the same thing. So
yes, they're honored for these things.
Right.
So we need to keep those natural instincts. Put down your GPS. Put down your cell phone. Okay. We need to not lose those important senses.
I'm out on an investigation, and I call it my spidey sense. And
that's so funny because I call it that too. So
do you really?
I really do.
That's because we're in love, Rick. I'm kidding.
Especially
Rick's
with your singing.
So when I get those spidey sense hits, that's clairsentience. That's not just me being freaked out by whatever. There's actually something to that.
Oh, that you're sensing that?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So what is it that I'm sensing when I get that spidey sense hit?
I mean, this is being a clairsentient. You're just sensitive to what's around you. I saw a lot of things in your photographs.
So yeah, I can't wait to talk about them.
So, I mean, I'll explain more when we get into that. But I'm sure that I saw you in one picture. You had a meter in your hand.
Yes.
And this is pretty consistent with all of the groups that bring me in to work with them. They will say, I kind of feel like taking a picture over there.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Or, you know, I feel like using my EMF meter right here.
Yeah.
Why do you want to stop in a particular area and do that? It's because you have a trigger that's going off in you.
Yeah, I told my son, actually, I said to my son, I'm going to stop here. There's something behind me. Take a picture.
There was something behind you, Karen.
Ha-ha! Sweet.
You know, it's kind of a bummer that you didn't see anything in the photos that I sent you.
No, there weren't any spirits with you at that time. However, I want to tell you about the little boy in the picture, and I'm assuming that's your son?
That is the apple of my eye, yes, my son.
Okay. You could have told me it was a neighbor's kid or whoever it was. You have a very strong bond between the two of you.
Okay.
It's very clear. This is almost like soulmates reconnecting or soul friends.
Aww.
Okay. I can see that. Rick's been very, very, very enamored of this. I mean, all dads are, but Rick has been.
No, not all dads.
No, you're right. Not all dads are. Many dads are, but Rick has definitely been more enamored than most dads I've seen with the new baby.
Yep, it's such a blessing that he has you in his life. I'll tell you, he has sprites around him.
You are not the only person that has told me this stuff.
Tell me what that means.
Sprites to me I mean, some people call them like pixies or fairies. I like to say that there's something crackling through the energy, and again, I'm going to take the scientific twist on this.
Okay.
There is a lot of energy thrown from this child. And you almost spark the waves that are around you. It comes through your aura. And so there's like little bursts of, it almost looks like fireworks.
This is really weird because you are the third person that has told me this. And I mean, I worked with some really awesome psychic mediums in McHenry County Paranormal Research Group, and they have told me this as well. So
that's good to hear that we're consistent.
Yeah.
Plus, he's just a darn gorgeous kid.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He is. And you're a very handsome gentleman, Rick.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. Please.
You should have seen me 2 years ago. Yikes.
Well, these things, they happen, Rick. So I want to go back to something that you said. You said, I've been this way since I was four. So what is it like for a little four-year-old child who has these things? How do you process that? What do you do with that? Do you tell somebody about it? Tell me a little about the experience of being a child with these gifts.
I never got to tell anybody because everybody knew that I was seeing and hearing things. They just knew it. I had a grandmother that was very much in tune with all of this. Old world Italian. She practiced Strega after we came home from church. I had a lot of mixed messages there, but it was very spiritual and everything was based in love and magic and very positive things. She was very open to this, and most of my family has some form of gift like this, whether it's through dream state or intuition.
I was just going to ask, so you come from an Italian family then?
100%.
Okay, so practicing the Strega. Okay, please proceed.
Go on.
Yes. Well, Strega is just based in, green witchery or a white witch. This is about magic, about love, matchmaking, things like that. It's very close to the gypsy-type readings that you do. So we used cards and tea leaves and all the natural things you have around the house.
Okay.
So it's very positive.
Yes. Okay, so you say it's about magic.
Yes.
I used to believe in magic and have not for a very long time. So tell me, when you say it's about magic, what that means.
Well, we have little spells and things we use. We're very superstitious. So you try to ward off evil spirits or negativity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so we just use little things around us to enhance it. We always figure it's not that you're worshiping these things like you would a god or religiously. It doesn't hurt. Right. You know, when they say don't walk under a ladder, maybe you just shouldn't walk under a ladder.
Okay.
You know, throw the salt over your shoulder. Yeah, just to be careful. And we do that too. We throw salt over our shoulder and all those things.
Okay. All right. That makes sense to me. I just, like I say, I haven't had a lot of belief in magic for many years. And so
you need some in your life.
Some magic in my life. So maybe I should start throwing the salt over my shoulder, you think?
Well, I think you need some music magic.
Oh, my God. You know, I would believe if I could all of a sudden sing, I'm not going to lie. I would believe in magic.
Do you think you can help her with that, Robin?
I don't know if I'm that good.
She said she saw an exorcist, Rick.
Exercise horrible singing.
Oh, all right. So,
back to when I was 4 years old.
Yes.
I had an apparition, a full-bodied, that was on our property in the house that I grew up in. And this is going to be in my next book that's coming out. And she kind of looked like a typical emo kind of goth chick, very depressed, very down, always looking down. She never spoke with her mouth. It was always telepathic to me. We looked back almost maybe 15 years later, as an adult, I went back to the house and I did some research. And this is when I started actually doing paranormal investigation. So this is many, many years ago. I found out that there had been a suicide and double murder outside on the property.
Okay.
So it was a mother that murdered her two children alongside herself.
My God, I can't even imagine something like that.
Oh, it's horrific.
Yeah.
She set them all on fire, by the way.
Holy crap, are you serious? I mean...
her husband came home one night, said, I don't love you anymore. And so she went out back, she put gasoline on all three of them, and lit them on fire.
Oh, God. Okay. Now is there like were you able to find like old newspaper clippings that reported this? Or?
You know, my best friend and I, we did the research on this. It took us months and months to go through microfiche to look up all of the archives on the house. We had to because it was only my grandparents that owned it right after they did. And now you cannot sell a house unless you expose something like this. But they had no idea. But my grandmother used to call it, my family name is Luongo, and she said it was the Luongo curse coming back to get us. So because horrific things happened to everybody that left that house. And these are major car accidents. We had a sledding accident, believe it or not. Just horrible, horrible things.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, the spirit was with me for 7 years that I lived there.
So you had an emo spirit with you for 7 years.
Yes, and you know, she never did anything directly to me. I wasn't afraid of her. She was just there, and she felt like family. And my family tells me that they think I had the senses of this from back in the very beginning. Soon as I could walk.
Wow.
Why did I think that?
Well, the thing is, I used to go to a particular area in the house constantly, and this is at 2 years old. And I used to yell the word Abba, Abba, over and over, and they, no matter, even though I began to talk and all of that, I always went back to that word. And as an adult, they asked me, do you remember saying that? They said, what does that mean? And so I did some research, and that's the very first word that I start my book with. And my book is called Love to Be With You. And it should be
out. I love that.
The first word in there is Abba. Well, it's Abba, A-B-B-A, which means God. That's from the Bible.
I was going to say, either really? That or you're really totally into ABBA.
And I can't stand ABBA.
Well, it's not that then.
But, yeah, that
I'm glad to hear you say that, because that actually would have damaged your credibility if you told me you liked them. No, I'm kidding. Oh, sorry. Oh, very interesting. So, I would like to go to break a little bit early, and then, because people have sent you pictures.
Yes.
And when we come back from break, I'd like you to tell me about those pictures.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go to break, and we will be back in just a couple minutes. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
You suck. Michael, you suck right over here.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You suck.
You suck.
You like that we're talking to you?
Donnie. Did you hear it, Donnie?
I'm here.
Who's here?
Michael.
Do I know you, Michael?
Oh, there's my name again. Yeah. The female likes you, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I like you, too.
Jim's friend. Yeah. God, I just heard, who are these people?
These are all friends.
cool?
That's cool to you?
Yes.
Come on, name again. You used to go to the church that's down on the bottom of this hill.
Nope.
Nope. Nope, not at all, huh?
Clear.
Did you like to sleep in?
Something to say? How do you feel? We want to get right down to the heart of the matter. Hundreds of topics, thousands of opinions, but this is our perspective. You're listening to Perspective with Kale and Trish, right here on Z-Talk Radio.
Hey. We will be on Z-Talk now on a Sunday afternoon from 3 till 5 Eastern. We do talk all about the paranormal. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's paranormal. Audience are invited to get involved. If you've got questions, ask, because we've got a superb team that will be able to answer them. We don't sensationalize, we just tell the truth. However, if we find out there are fakes about, we will name and shame them. You've got to listen in to Haunted Cornwall FM from the UK on Z-Talk, 3 till 5 Eastern.
Hey, this is Tanya.
And this is Stacey.
And we're from Morning Coffee with Tanya and Stacey.
Make sure to tune in Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern,
6 a.m. Pacific, as we have segments which include, but are certainly not limited to, DB University on Mondays,
My Useless Facts Every Day, Coffee Advice, and Stacey's Spontaneous Outbursts, of course.
We have been known to test every emotion known to man, and we want you to join in on the fun.
Come get your ab workout as you join in with laughter and comedy
right here on ZTalkRadio.com.
Thank you.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Yes, the Z-Talk Monkey Spank. Outstanding. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ztalkradio.com. This is Rick and Karen, and we are back with Robin Marie, spiritual medium.
Who is sadly getting the finest of us tonight.
Oh, boy. What a treat.
Yeah, aren't you lucky? Aren't you lucky, lucky you got us on this night of all nights?
I never expected.
We're fun.
Yes, you know, you have to laugh in life.
Absolutely.
We do that a lot. So, Robin, you have been receiving pictures from us and from people at Paranormal Underground.
Yes.
And so, because I am the queen of all things, we're going to start with me. And I sent you two distinctly different pictures, sets of pictures.
I do want to start with yours, actually.
Okay.
I wanted to explain about photo scrying, if I may.
Yes, absolutely.
This is something that nobody else does. And I challenge everybody out there, if you know anyone that does something remotely close to this, please have them contact me.
Mark Nelson.
Okay.
Nancy LaPorta.
Okay. I don't do readings off of pictures.
Oh, okay.
These are not readings.
Okay.
I want to explain to you, as a clairvoyant, I think everybody will understand that you see the spirits. You physically see them walking around you, just as you do a live person. What's unique about this is I see that same thing inside a still photograph.
You see them walking around?
Yes.
Awesome.
If you ever saw a movie, where they do like freeze frame and all the people freeze.
Yeah.
And then they'll have like one character walking around in the movie. That's what I see.
Okay. I would like to withdraw my Mark Nelson. All right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people misunderstand. They think I'm doing a reading and, you know, like I would with cards or anything else. I can physically see them.
Okay.
Yes, and I hear them singing and dancing and everything else. It's very comical to me.
Oh, that's really groovy.
Yeah, I never know what I'm going to find. I'm totally addicted to doing this. I will sit up all night long going over photos for readings for people.
I would too, because you would never have to pay for cable.
Nice, Karen.
Thank you.
This is true. You know, my son just told me that too.
See, I'm not even original, Rick. Oh,
like
okay. So I think that's really cool.
It's like getting porn for free. So
yeah, it's very okay. It's very Harry Potter.
So yes, it is.
Yeah.
Now, you sent me a picture of you walking through this walkway with columns on each side of you.
Yes.
I'm trying to describe it just a little bit so your listeners know what this looks like. You're holding some type of meter in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I thought was, I wonder why you stopped right there. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned you felt like somebody was behind you.
Mm-hmm. And I asked my son to take a picture.
Now, I write all of this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a whole book on this.
Okay. All right.
When I do my findings, I write it down right in the moment because the spirit can walk away and I may not see it again tomorrow.
Right. Well, you might be surprised to hear that I also wrote a whole book on this area with the picture. So go on.
Really? Yeah. I'd like to know more about that after.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very demonic, I'll say, very negative, malevolent spirit that is behind you. Probably, I'm just guessing the distance, about 60 feet back.
That's right. That's exactly where he is.
Wow.
And he's kind of following you, but believe me, he is keeping a distance.
Yeah, you can see him in the picture, actually. I mean, not in the singing, but you can see him in the picture.
Oh, yeah, but you physically see something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just so people understand, that's not what I'm going by. People say, you know, oh, look at this orb, or there's a mist over here. I'm looking way beyond that. I'm looking for live-looking apparitions. This could not manifest into a physical being. If it does, or if it did at the time, it would most likely come as a shadow person.
Okay. Mm. Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
So, so you picked up something with that later.
Mm-hmm.
So, usually when I see shadow people, there is something negative that's following them. They have shame. They have embarrassment they're carrying with them. And so they don't have that beautiful angelic look like we see other people, other spirits.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what was following you in that particular one.
Okay.
There is another picture that you sent of children walking through a wooded area.
Mm-hmm.
A group of them. I see all the back of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if any of them reported to you that they saw something or was out in the middle of the woods there.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Okay.
It was just, I always wonder about that because it looks like maybe they stood there for a while. They may have stopped in that particular area. They're facing two spirits that are out beyond in those trees.
Okay.
In that wooded area. There's a very prominent man that's there, a male entity.
Okay.
He has dark hair, dark mm-hmm. brown. He's Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, spirits can show me different ages. It doesn't mean that's necessarily what they look like when they passed away, but he's around 40 years old.
Okay.
He told me his name is Charles Norbert.
Okay.
So you might want to note that down. Take a look in the area, see if you can find anything on that.
Okay.
He told me he loved math.
Okay.
He said, I'm here to watch over the children.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very good spirit. I almost sense that maybe he was a teacher or something like that associated with the community. It's like he felt responsible watching over who was walking through the woods there.
That makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He could have been a ranger or something, so you have to look up that name.
Okay, I have it written down.
There's a very faint woman that's coming through on the right-hand side, if you look directly through the bushes, that area.
Mm-hmm.
And she is in a very astral type of manifestation. This is very light an area, like we see Casper. You can see through it.
Okay.
She's trying to come through. She couldn't speak. She wasn't telling me anything telepathically. So I can continue working on this. Let's say I look at it a week from now. She may want to speak. She may feel comfortable.
Okay.
But there was also a female there as well, and she's elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a lot of things going out there in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually the same area. It's in the same vicinity. It's the same trail in the woods where of the other picture.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there's an awful lot going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the picture that you sent of the tunnel.
Yes.
Is that in the same area?
It is.
Well, this was very unusual. A young girl. And, you know, I just start to see it come through like a mist at first.
Right, right.
And they begin to take form. It's almost as if when they start to trust me,
mm-hmm.
or as their energy increases, they're able to come into more of a full-bodied figure that I can see.
Mm-hmm.
She started out very misty, very shy. She's inside the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
She said, there are many of us here. I hadn't even. You think so?
Oh, I know so. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good to hear. I didn't even communicate with her. I didn't even, you know, say, can I get your name? You know, I usually meditate and I let them know mm-hmm. they're safe with me. They can talk to me. I didn't even get that far. She came right out and said this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she
Do you
said
have a sense of an age on that girl?
You know what? She's young.
When you say young, do you mean...
I would guess maybe teens.
Okay.
No more than 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. She said to me, there is Queen Anne's lace around that opening
mm-hmm.
to protect us.
Oh,
it's
okay.
like they made that grow there, or mm-hmm. they put the seeds there or something so that would grow and protect us. And when she said that, that made me think that she practiced some type of craft, or okay. she was a healer of some type, because Queen Anne's lace, in fact, is used in many spells for protection.
Well, that place is loaded with Queen Anne's lace all throughout the site.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is good to know. So it all makes sense to you.
Makes some sense to me. Mm-hmm.
So I wrote down that she's very young. She's mm-hmm. very shy. I want to say kind of reserved. Once she did take full form, she was poking her head in and out. Like, she didn't want to come out right into the sunlight. Mm-hmm. She kind of felt safe in that tunnel.
Okay.
And this is on the right side of the tunnel, you know, as we're looking at the picture, our right.
Okay.
She asked a name, and she said, I asked her name afterwards. I'm mm-hmm. just reading from my notes.
Sure.
She said, can't tell you.
Okay.
And I like to repeat back exactly how they say things.
Okay.
The fuel is on my shoes.
She said that?
What does that mean? It was bothering her.
Oh, I'll tell you. How about if we finish this site and then I'll tell you what I think that means.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So you want the next picture?
Is it still one of the ones up? Did I only send you the three of up in the woods?
Just those three, and then I had another man that you sent me. Oh, no, that was a different one. That was Chad.
Oh, yeah.
I have the picture of your home, mm-hmm. but the fire pit I wanted to address.
Okay, so let's talk about the fuel on her shoes then.
Yes, that's specifically what she said. The fuel is on my shoes.
So you email Cheryl your address, and I will send you a copy of my book. It's about a site called Wellington, where the worst avalanche disaster in terms of human life lost in the history of the United States occurred. It was back in 1910. Two trains were sitting on railroad tracks. An avalanche came down and killed all of the passengers train.
Mm.
So that whole area is a train. Trains went through there. They were coal trains. But I wonder if it has something to do with them being on the trains and an avalanche going and that type of thing.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So that's what that was about.
I knew that it was bothering her, and then she was gone.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
Wow.
Okay, so the fire pit, which is at my house, and I sent you a picture of my boys, too. Was that two pose?
Oh, they're beautiful. Beautiful children. Many blessings to them.
Oh. They're breathtaking.
They are breathtaking, I must say. They're much older than that now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
The boy that was on the right-hand side.
The one in the hat or the brown-haired one?
The hat.
Okay,
yes,
that's son, Hannah.
I'm trying to remember back. He's very gifted, you know.
Gifted psychically?
He has a very strong spiritual sense within him.
I get that about him. He's a kind of an extraordinary kid, but I'm his mom, and so I just figured that I thought that.
Okay, I want to tell you, he's also associated with music.
Oh, my God, totally. Yeah, he's an extremely talented musician.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm very glad that he's already on that path.
Yes, he is. He plays the saxophone and the drums and mm-hmm. all sorts of things. So.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sent me the picture of your fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question first off, and then I'll tell you my findings.
Okay.
Why did you choose that particular area, or when you bought the house, was it already set up that there was a sitting area there?
No, it actually is. It used to house our propane tank, and it had a brick wall partially around it. We knocked the brick wall down. There's still a cement pad, so we felt it was a safe place to put the fire pit.
Okay, but you didn't feel spiritually like there was anything right there?
I tend to not think about stuff like that at my own house, to be quite honest with you.
All right. You will next time.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that is perfect feng shui.
Oh, well, look at me. Woohoo.
So that's why I didn't know if you studied that So balanced, so spiritual, right in that corner, the way it's set up. With you put an archway there.
No, the archway was already there.
That's very, very interesting. You might want to look at why or who put that there.
Okay.
And I just like to mention some of these visuals so your listeners know what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That archway, believe it or not, I looked all the way down the hill and there was a line of Native Americans or missionaries, okay, it's something along this line, spiritually based people that are walking in a single line up that hill. And today, they go through that archway.
And they come in my house sometimes, don't they?
Probably so.
Yes, they do.
Probably so, which is a very good thing. I hope you and the children are never afraid of any of this. These are very good spirits that are there watching over you.
Okay.
They are residual as well.
Okay.
They're going through the same walk that they did in life. And I was trying to see them more clearly. They're coming through very white, very ghosty looking in an astral body. So I would like to know more if maybe you do have the history, whether or not there was Native Americans there.
Well, yeah, I live in Chehalis, Washington, and we have the Chehalis tribe here. And I mean, I think, you know, Washington State is huge for its Native American populations. And
no, I didn't.
Oh, yes. Washington State is very, there's a lot of, and so we had the Chehalis tribe where I live. So it would make sense that, this might be a place where there was some Native American activity.
Well, definitely. Don't ever take that archway down. They love it. They're at peace.
Okay.
They walk through it, and it's not like they're sitting in your chairs or bothering you there if you're sitting out there.
No.
They're just going through their path, their walk.
Okay.
A male said to me that you are to become a reader and a healer. He said, join them.
What does that mean?
Well, the way he said it to me, he was saying for me to repeat it to you.
So he's not saying, like, kill yourself and come be one of us.
No, he said nothing about drinking the Kool-Aid.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. He did say the singing was a little bit off, but...
Yeah. Well, he's right.
He said to you, join them. These are obviously very spiritually based people. They're beautiful spirits, and I'm sure they did great things in their lifetime. He wants you to join them in being a reader or a healer. So bring these wonderful things into your life as they have it.
Okay.
So hopefully, you know, if you sit there and try to communicate with them, they'll pass some of this wonderful energy over to you.
Yeah, and maybe you'll start out there.
Yeah, maybe you'll start seeing spirits or you'll feel the, you know, like scrying in a crystal ball or something. I don't know how this will manifest itself in you, but they want you to have that spiritual side and to join them. And I thought that was so beautiful to invite you.
Yeah, that's definitely. Okay, cool.
That's great.
Yeah, so is that all for me?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I got to tell you, you nailed Wellington. So like I say, you send your address, I will send you the book.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you'll be real interested.
Yeah, too. I can't wait to see.
And if you go to wellingtonproject.org, Robin, there's some videos about Wellington and the history and the haunting and the stuff that goes on up there.
Hmm. Well, now I've connected with them, so I'm going to have to read up on it.
Yeah, definitely do. It's the 1910 Wellington Avalanche.
You know, I had never even heard of Wellington until, you know, I met Karen, so it sounds like a great place.
Yeah, but Rick's going to come out and see me, and we're going to go.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. You should. I'd love to see all the country.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so let's talk about, so who else has sent you a picture?
So now, Rick, you sent over some photos, and I was just telling you offline about this, but I wanted to share with your listeners that your little boy in the picture, he is most likely a crystalline child. He has sprites around him. And sprites are like little bursts of energy that crackle through through the air, through the plane that we're on, or even going into another dimension. Mm-hmm. And so he's making this connection on many levels. So I wouldn't be surprised if some point, if he isn't a reader or has some kind of gift. So you're going to have to watch for this as he gets older.
Oh, believe me, I told you before, I mean, I have been told this a couple of times already, so you're like the third person to have told me this. Yeah, I do feel a major connection with my little guy, Theodore. He's the apple of my, mine and my wife's eye. We went through hell and back just to be able to have him. And, but yeah, I definitely can feel that about him and sense that.
Could I ask his birthday? Just a month and a day.
It's the same as mine.
Yeah, December 3rd, 2010.
Yes, Rick did that to honor me because I'm so awesome.
Well, I'll tell you, I use numerology as well in my readings. Mm-hmm. And just the strongest influence for him is that 3, and that's the Holy Trinity. He is here on a spiritual journey. He is also considered rabbi, which means he is to teach.
I was going to say, we're not Jewish.
It's not about that.
Okay.
It just means mastering.
Okay.
And so because he is a spiritual master in this lifetime, he is meant to teach. And he can do that in any way that he wants to, in mm-hmm. any type of field. But he must have that teaching element in whatever he goes into.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been talking to Vicky and Nancy? Because I swear to God, if you guys are conspiring against me,
I don't know who
really
that is.
Pissed.
I don't know these people.
Okay, because everything you're telling me right now is everything that they've told me. So I'm quite impressed with you, Robin. I must say,
that's very good to hear.
Rick's stamp of approval.
Well, no, I really like to hear that. Other mediums or psychics, I'm not sure what their professions are specifically, mm-hmm. but if they are associated with metaphysics, it's nice to hear that we're consistent with anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, so one of them is a Strega. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. So. Okay. So we got Rick. So who else sent you pictures?
Oh, let me see. I have John P. from Colorado.
Okay.
And he may be listening in, so I'm just going to say this quickly because I can't see him in the chat room in particular. But
nobody uses their real name.
Well, he's pretty well known, but I'm not going to expose him here because this went into family photos.
Okay.
He has a brother that's in the photo, and I just wanted to mention that there is an elderly woman that's consistently behind his brother, and his brother is a mature gentleman, and I can see through the pictures he's retired. So this woman is very, very elderly. I think that she's along the lines of grandmother, perhaps, but she is in almost every single photo with him. So I don't know if that's comforting to the family, so I just wanted to point that out.
That's nice. Okay.
John Brightman, you may know. He works in the field in New England Paranormal Research, and I went over his photos on Facebook, and I think he was going to listen in tonight. And I just briefly wanted to say that there are pictures of his girlfriend's daughter all throughout Facebook. And there is a male that's coming through who is very, very weak. He may have been very, very ill at his passing. Sometimes for a period of time, they may carry that residual with them. They may still feel a heart attack. You know, they may feel cancer or whatever that they passed from. It takes time to get over that. That entity is with her in almost every picture. It's very consistent.
Mm. Okay.
Very hard for that person to come through. Mm. There were other pictures of Lizzie Borden that they had up. And this is Lizzie Borden's bed and breakfast mm-hmm. in Massachusetts. And Prism D was there. I don't know if you know Reese Sadler. And Big Jim Jones, a lot of people know them out there in the field. They're wonderful people. They were there with John. And I just want to let them know that there was a woman in period clothing that came through the doorway. She's very animated. She's walking through. She's checking out everything. She didn't like that they were sitting on the couch.
Okay.
So when I see investigators turning around, like I told you, you know, picking up EMF meters, snapping right. photos, I always wonder why they're doing that. And we have to go back to using our natural senses.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Something
absolutely.
Is there.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Do you have any others?
Just the last one was Amanda H., and I know that I think I've done readings for her before, so she may be listening in. She's on Z-Talk quite often. I recognize the name. She's down in South Carolina. She sent a picture of a desk area. And let me see. There's a red couch there, and I wanted to tell her that somebody is attached to that red couch. I wanted to have her think about this. If you pick up vintage furniture, used furniture, be very careful what comes home with that piece.
Oh, definitely.
I've heard that before. You know, when I play my 100-year-old piano, mm-hmm. I see things in mm-hmm. my brain. So,
I don't know how many investigations I've done where somebody will say, wow, you know, I brought this into my house and then all of a sudden something's just tearing up my life. So, yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, so did you have anything more on that one, Robin? I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, that was it for now. There's another couple of notes that, you know, I always like to tell people if they didn't get a chance to send in photos, I will honor that. So if you want to send over a few this evening, I won't charge you for a reading or for that time, and I'll go ahead and honor that for this show.
Okay, so
they can email them.
Do you want to go ahead and talk about Chad's photo? Because I know he's really interested to hear. And I know the photo he sent you. I think I know the photo he sent you. And I'd be kind of interested to hear, too.
Now, was this the one with the pink mist or streaks going through
Yes.
it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, that was very unusual. I have to take everything from a scientific approach, mm-hmm. just to bring validity to what I'm saying. I like to rule out everything, why that streak was on there. Mm-hmm. I wrote everything here, and I'm just curious, what are your findings in that picture? What did you think happened with that?
You know, I've looked at the picture many times since Chad took it. And I tend to be sort of suspicious of pictures like that just because I think a lot can go wrong with digital photography. So I don't really have any findings other than, you know, it's an interesting picture. I can't explain it, but that doesn't mean there's not an explanation.
Okay. I probably get 80 emails a day just on Yahoo alone.
Mm-hmm.
Probably half of them are people sending me pictures to look at orbs.
Mm-hmm.
Streaks, reflections of lights, all of this. Could I please communicate with Grandma through this orb?
Right.
99.75% of the time I rule these out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would love to see something spiritual, and I hate to let people down because I know maybe they needed to get a message, but I'd rather be honest with you mm-hmm. and rule everything out first.
Sure.
I cannot debunk those pink splotches. And I always think about digital as well, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. Maybe something happened. So I try to communicate with what I see spiritually, beyond those streaks, beyond a mist or an orb.
Sure.
There is, in fact, a woman who passed away that is in that.
Okay.
She has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly breast cancer, I was picking up first.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as though it's spread, or vice versa. I feel she may have had uterine cancer as well.
Okay.
She had a great deal of suffering, and she is with him. So I don't know if this is...
Oh, she's with Chad.
A family member? Yes.
Oh, okay. So she's not with the location. She's with him.
She was there.
Okay. Uh-huh.
She is there in that picture. And I just for the sake of debunking, you know, I don't like to sound flaky to people. I don't know if those pink splotches have anything specifically to do with her, but she is physically there walking around him.
Okay. Hmm. Well, okay, do you have anything more? Because I'll tell you where the photo was taken if when you're done.
Okay. And yes, it can go with the building. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
There is a picture of a full building,
mm-hmm.
maybe a hospital. Many people were in those windows. They are walking around in gowns. This is why I'm going to possibly a hospital type setting.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a shell picture of a building. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to focus on that too much. But there are many. Up on the left-hand side of the picture, about four floors up, somebody was horrifically screaming at the top of their lungs. I couldn't stand it anymore. They okay. were in excruciating pain.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible.
Okay.
They showed me that on their left shoulder,
mm-hmm.
their clavicle bone,
mm-hmm.
that bone that sticks out in your chest there,
yeah.
was removed.
Oh, my God. You are so good. Holy crap. You just absolutely freaked me
does
out.
Does this mean something to you?
Do you think so? By my reaction, would you think maybe it does? I'm just really excitable. Yeah, well, so I want you to finish everything you see in the picture, and then I'll tell you. And it'll make perfect sense to you, too.
Well, that one was so disturbing to me, I had to put the picture away.
Okay.
I couldn't take it anymore. And okay. it's almost like that person was screaming so horrifically that it was triggering off others throughout the building.
Okay.
On the second floor, there was another apparition in a gown, mm-hmm. like a Johnny-type gown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was almost like burlap. I mean, it wasn't even like a nice material.
Mm-hmm.
It was just awful looking. And he was walking very tall and thin. He was starting to bald. He has black hair around the back of his head. And he was walking from the right side of the picture to the left, just walking through very okay. blindly.
Okay.
It really set off a lot of the spirits.
Okay. All right. Wow. You did pretty well with that one. You want to know what it is?
Yes, now I do.
It's Waverly Hills.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, removing the clavicle bone was a procedure they did to expand the lungs. So
yeah, both of those were from Waverly.
Wow.
Oh, that was really good, Robin.
Wow. Now it makes sense to me, too.
Yeah, I told you as soon as I told you where it was, that it would completely make sense to you that that's what it was. Yes, it was Waverly. So, yeah, very good.
So terrible.
People are asking in the chat room, Robin, where they can go to find you.
I'm at robinmarie.com, and that's Robyne. I'm on Facebook. I'm on MySpace. I'm on every place you can imagine. I'm out there. And okay. you can always find me through the people on Z-Talk. I'm very good friends with Scotty and all of them. So very easy to track me down.
Yeah, Robin, I tend to be really, I don't want to say standoffish, but I tend to be a little leery of psychics because I've come across.
And you should be.
I've come across some big fat liars, or at least people who believe their own shtick a little too much.
As do I. Yeah. It's very disturbing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you did pretty darn well. Oh, so somebody in the chat room, Robin, I don't know if you just saw it, but they said that the fourth floor was the surgery floor.
Yes. Oh, well, this poor spirit is just trapped up there. It's just horrific. The screaming was deafening to me.
Oh.
I've never been there, but, you know, I've read a lot about it, and it is definitely one of the most tragically haunted places in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Okay, so we are going to take a little bit of a break. Robin, thank you so much for coming on. When we come back,
yes,
we're not doing
you.
A lightning round tonight, but Rick and I are going to discuss some news stories when we come back. So Rick has carefully picked some, and so have I. And we actually picked one of the same ones. Mm-hmm. So we will take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute on Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. And Robin, thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, this is Nick Redfern, and you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. This is Rick, and I am here with Karen. And I gotta be perfectly honest, after talking to Robin Marie, I've been researching the paranormal for almost 30 years, since I was 8 years old. And I've met probably, you know, maybe two or three other psychics that I could say I found legit, and she's definitely fits on the list, let me tell you. So very cool.
That was really pretty darn good. Pretty darn impressive all around, yes. As far as I know.
I have no way to disprove her, and I would love to, but I can't.
That's right. That's right. So thank you so much. And Robin is still hanging out in the chat room. And some of you, I know, have some requests of her. And she said she's going to honor those. So you can contact her privately in the chat room or publicly, whatever you'd like to do, and get that set up. Yeah. So thank you, Robin. You've been really generous. So this is the time of the show where we usually do the lightning round. And we didn't do the lightning round tonight. I spent part of my day in court and part of my day in another town and got home just shortly before it was time for the show. I didn't have time to find questions, I'm not going to lie. So Rick and I don't have a whole lot of time left, but we're going to discuss some of the news of the day, or just some news stories that we found.
Just some news of the week or whatever.
That's right. So give me your number one there, Rick. What's your number one
story? Now, the number one, of course, would have to do with, you know, Sweet Home Chicago. And apparently Saturday night, a bunch of people on the south side of Chicago at 35th and Western claimed to have seen a UFO in the night sky.
Okay.
So, from what I was reading, they were calling the cops, they were letting everybody know what was going on. Well, apparently, a organization called the Baby James Foundation, which is, you know, a foundation for abused children, they had released a bunch of balloons and in memory of, you know, abuse victims. So I think that that's great, and if you're going to scare the hell out of people, at least it's for a good cause.
So. Yes, yes. Okay, so it was fake?
Yeah, well, it wasn't fake. It was just, you know, people thought they were seeing something, and they weren't. They were, seeing balloons, which is a lot of times the case that, you know, people think they're seeing a UFO or whatever, and I'm not saying that I don't believe that, you know, we're visited. But right. You can pretty much explain at least 80% of the sightings away.
That's right. I was going to say, because sometimes life is a Nina song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sing it because I think that all of you have suffered enough this evening.
Oh, God, please don't. All right, Karen, your news item.
All right. So this is actually, I had the other one up, but this is the one that both Rick and I came up with, and he's kind enough to let me have it. Here's the deal. Scientists have created cattle that produce human milk in order to make milk more nutritious. And as you know, I'm very obsessed with breast milk ice cream stories. So this just seemed right along the lines of that. Animal welfare groups are not liking it much. And of course, people are questioning whether it is safe that these genetically modified animals are going to be producing human milk. So what do you think?
Now, what I want to know is PETA. They're usually, you know, leading the charge on stuff like that. I mean, it's okay to completely disrespect humans, but don't disrespect animals with them. But are they kind of like the ones who are leading this charge on this?
I don't know. But I will say that with the industrialization and genetic modification in our food chain currently, this isn't any worse than any of the other crap. I would think that cows making humans milk is far less bad for us than making weird foods out of corn, because about 90% of everything we eat when we eat processed food comes from corn.
Right.
You know, if you've never seen King Corn, it's a documentary.
It's never seen it.
Stunning. It's stunning what corn goes into in our food. And then another good book to read about it is actually The Omnivore's Dilemma. Great book. But it really brings home what goes into our food supply, and some of it's pretty freaking scary.
Oh, and yeah.
So, you know, a cow making breast milk, hey, maybe I could have ice cream again.
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad that we have, like, Theodore on formula, and it's soy-based, because it's like, you just never know what's in this stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you so, don't. No. You know, okay, what's your next story?
Okay, well, apparently, according to Stan Gooch, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, Gooch is his last name, he has claimed, he's an associate of the great occult researcher, all of a sudden his name escapes me. Sorry about that. I do that quite a bit. Colin Wilson. He says that Neanderthals were actually far more advanced than we previously have known. And actually, that makes a lot of sense to me, because I'm personally one of the people who do believe in diffusionist theories in archaeology, that, you know, mankind does go back further than it does. Somehow we lost the memory of that golden age. So, Mr. Gooch,
I can't. What was that? What are you talking about, Gooch?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, Gooch is also, you know, the name for the, you know, the little thing, and, you know, that's the between the. Exactly. Okay. And but I think that makes sense, because they have theorized that the Neanderthal did have kind of a very large brain pan, so their brain was a lot larger than, you know, than we thought.
Then how come the Neanderthals aren't the ones alive now and ruling the world?
You know what? Who knows? I mean, but for whatever reason, Cro-Magnon came around and, you know, kicked the crap out of them, and now we're descended from Cro-Magnon, so who knows?
Well, again, ready for another reference to a book? There's an author, his name is James Sawyer, Robert Sawyer. He writes sci-fi stuff, and he has a group of books that I think they're called, like, The Neanderthal Parallax or something like that, and it's about an alternate universe in which human beings are in which the Neanderthals were the ones who went on to survive, and the species evolved from them. So it's an interesting series of books.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd definitely like to see that or read one of those.
Yeah, Robert Sawyer. Okay, so I'm going to post a link in the chat room for people who want to go look at this picture.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a story that I sort of find really interesting. It's from the Mail, Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. And scientists have uncovered a 5,000-year-old skeleton, and he was buried in a position that they buried women in, not men in, but it's a male skeleton. And so scientists have theorized from this that he was gay, and that this is the world's first gay male. No response other than just laughing.
Well, I just think that it's pretty crazy, because this obviously predates what we know as, you know, the Western religion. I mean, let's face it, you know, our Western idea of religion really has sort of vilified the homosexual. And, you know, obviously all that did not exist, you know, 10,000, 20,000 years ago or whatever. So I really don't think that they probably weren't too concerned with sexuality back then.
Okay, I think that that's a fair assessment, and really, why would it matter anyway?
No, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. You know, maybe if he was buried with a rainbow and marching in a pride parade or something, okay.
Or, you know, I don't know, buried with some ABBA records or, you know, like some mineral water or whatever. I mean, maybe we'd be able to tell then, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I just, and like I say, why would it matter anyway?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you have one more story, is that right?
I do. Apparently, NASA's Kepler mission claims that it has visualized, I mean, it's actually seen through the telescope 1,235 alien worlds. Now, I'm sorry, I mean, is it strong enough to, like, you know, see some five-armed and six-legged tentacled being laying on a beach somewhere on a distant world? You know, I really have no understanding how it is that they're able to see that, except that I've been told that what it is that they watch as, like, the star that's in this system, if there's has wobble. Apparently, if it has wobble, then it has planets. But how do they know that they're Earth-like planets? How do they know that there's anything there to begin with? So
So wait, but they said that they actually saw that many life forms, I thought you said.
No. Oh, I'm talking alien about, you worlds. Know, yeah, they saw, you know, alien worlds that are possibly Earth-like, and I don't know how they could possibly tell that from, you know, something that's 100 million light years away. But it's just, I'm really hoping that maybe, you know, someday this, something like this will prove, you know, that there is alien life. I really don't get into the whole conspiracy thing, but, you know, I'm sure science will, you know, one day pan out for all of us.
Sure. So what do you think about, like, the Drake equation? Is it the Drake equation? Is that what it's called?
The Drake equation,
yeah.
Yeah, the Drake equation which talks about, you know, how many worlds that there are in our universe and how many mm-hmm. have, like, intelligent life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm only familiar with it in that respect. Obviously, I'm not like a mathematician. In fact, I'm not even really that smart.
You don't want to read the formula. It'll make your head explode. I'm not kidding.
I've seen the formula, but okay, let's just take, for example, if there is 100 million worlds out there, mm-hmm. okay, that are like Earth.
Okay.
Only if 10% of those have life on them and intelligent life at that. I mean, we're talking about millions of intelligent life forms that could be even more, far more advanced than us.
Sure. Even if 1% of those,
then, you know, hundreds. It's a pretty amazing thing. And I think that one day we're finally going to, you know, find out. Now, of course, my wife, Jamie, is back here. She's probably scowling at me right now because she absolutely does not believe in alien life whatsoever. She does not believe we've ever been visited. So,
don't tell her I said this then. But I sort of think it's kind of the height of arrogance to believe that we're alone in this universe and that we're the only intelligent life.
Mm-hmm.
Did she hear me?
No, but I'm going to tell her. Apparently, hon, Karen says that you're at the height of ignorance because you believe we're the only species.
I said arrogance. Arrogance. And I didn't say Jamie particularly. I said it's an arrogant view.
Hang on a second. What did you say? did you hear what she said?
I didn't. You're going to have to.
She said that we must also believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. I do.
Well, Jamie, since you mention it, I do not. Although I keep that dream alive. Okay, so we just have a few minutes left, and I wanted to touch on what next week's show is going to be. Now, I am not going to be available for next week's show, so Rick is going to be co-hosting with Kim Kalchek of the Ghostbreakers team. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be talking – I'm really bummed that I have something going on Thursday mm-hmm. night, because you're going to be talking to Darren Fitzgerald, who is the author of The House on Hurley Pond Road, which looks like a really cool cool book. So,
I've only been to their website, and I've only read the excerpt because I can't find the book out this way. But, you know, it sounds like Poltergeist, you know, your typical Poltergeist type stuff to me. But, you know, some of the other things that they talk about at the website, there was something far more sinister there. So
I'll have to go to the website. I've only read stuff that people have talked about in the paranormalunderground.net forums.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, join us next week, or join Rick and Kim next week. Mm-hmm. From Rick gets a break from me being a horrible, horrible person to him. So that'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 11 Eastern, and then there's other times in those flyover states. And I just say that so Rick will say, "Hey,
go ahead."
See. And until then. Thanks for listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.